the skin of her ass really is. I shake my head, adjusting my cock to make sure I don't stick out too much when I go back inside. As I step back into the house, I can't keep the grin from coming across my face. Crossing the foyer back to the dining room, I mutter softly, "You'd better get used to it, princess."
Chapter 9. Mindy. "That meal was wonderful, Mary Jo," Oliver says beside me, stretching his arm out along the back of the leather love seat. "Thank you and John for your hospitality." I shift around, trying to minimize the chances of contact between me and Oliver. But the love seat is too damn small, and his arms are just too damn long. We're sitting in the library after dinner, relaxing and sipping some after-dinner drinks. Mom wanted everyone to have a little bit of family chill time after dinner, but I'm so ready to do anything but chill. Sitting next to Oliver, I'm fuming on the inside, while trying to look as calm as possible, smiling on the outside. But really, I'm still smarting over what he pulled at the table. Even after we came back, he would trip me up when he could, never directly saying I was wrong, but subtly steering things. Every time Roxy or Grandma had a question, I could see Oliver putting his own little twist on things, just enough to make me look foolish if they remembered what I'd told them before. I could literally grip his balls right now and squeeze, just grab them right through his trousers and yank. But I hate that the very thought of touching his balls and his cock fills me with desire. John gets up, stretching. "Well, I think I'm going to turn in. No offense to you all, but I have one more day of work to do before I officially go on vacation. Have a good evening." Mom smiles at Oliver, charmed to the bone by him. At least that's gone well. "Well, Oliver, I'm so glad you could make it here to spend some time with us. I can see why Mindy is so taken by you." "My word, Mary Jo," Grandma remarks with a cackle. "You keep on with much more of that and your nose is going to turn brown." Mom blushes, and I understand what Grandma means. Mom can't seem to stop praising him. Roxy lets out a snort and a giggle. "I still want to see if this Tony is as bad as Oliver makes him out to be." "If he's half the cocky bastard his brother is," I think to myself, "you're better off hanging out with the gay guys at Trixie's." Ivy Jo waves a hand. "I'm just so proud that Mindy has found her a nice, handsome man to treat her right. And he has money, too." Grandma beams at me for a moment before asking, "Should I be planning for great-grandbabies anytime soon?" My heart skips a beat. "Babies? Is she kidding?" Grandma," Oliver chuckles, grabbing me around the shoulder and squeezing me close. "Maybe not soon, but we sure have been practicing, haven't we, princess?" He winks at me, and I can't help it. I bite my lip at the idea of practicing with him. But still, I could just kill him. It's hard not to scowl, but instead I just grin. Honey," I say, gesturing at Roxy and Layla. "Not in front of the children." Roxy sticks out her tongue, but I'm quick to change the subject. "So, Mom, what about the wedding?" "Oh no, Mindy Price, I'm serious," Grandma persists. "When's it happening? I'm not getting any younger, you know, and not everyone gets to be a great-grandmother." She looks at her older two granddaughters. "Unless one of you two wants to give me one first." Roxy grabs her sides. "Oh no, Granny Goose," Roxy says in between holding in laughter. "Don't go putting designs on this uterus. I don't need that kind of pressure on me. Not when I just barely climbed out of the womb. Why, I'm perfectly innocent." "I seriously doubt that," I mutter under my breath, and Oliver chuckles. I'm annoyed with him, but I can't help but be charmed by his handsome smile. Roxy shakes her head. "Besides, I still have a lot to do before I have a baby. Queen Bey might be able to have a couple of kids, but she's already the queen. I've got a way to go yet." "A baby's the last thing Roxy needs. She needs to get a real job first, at least," my mom says. "I resent that. What's wrong with singing?" Roxy complains. Mom frowns. "I think it's sweet and all that you like to sing, but baby, the odds of ever actually making it big are slim." Tell that to the people down at Trixie's, Roxy rebuts, sounding hurt. They love my voice. I think it's admirable that you have the guts to try and find your own way, Oliver says, and I hear something in his voice that I haven't heard before. He sounds legitimate, like it's not for show. He looks directly at Roxy as he talks, the rest of us forgotten. I think you should keep going for it. Don't get roped into a job, a life you don't want, just to fulfill someone else's idea of what you should do. Trust me on that one. Oliver seems to have silenced everyone, but Grandma finally speaks up. Let's just leave the poor girl alone. She's young and has more than enough time to figure everything out. Thank you, Roxy says with relief. Now, can we please get back to the subject at hand? Babies. When are y'all gonna have babies? Roxy says, turning to me. Oh, I could kill her. I think I can. The law might be on my side. I'm temporarily insane. 'Cause y'all look like you'd make a litter of beautiful ones. We're waiting until after we're married, I say. I give Oliver a meaningful glance. We want to do things right and all. I figure that as soon as we're gone from here, I'll call Mom and tell her that Oliver and I had some issues and broke off our engagement. I'm sure it will upset them, but I really didn't expect things to get this deep. Well, hopefully that's sooner rather than later, Grandma says. You might think I'm still a spry chicken, but I'm just about plucked and ready for the fryer. She looks around and smirks. Not that I can't think rings around all of y'all, though. But on that note, I think it's time for bed. Grandma starts to get to her feet, but before she can heave herself up, Oliver's there, guiding her up. Thank you, young man. Handsome and a gentleman. Good night, you all. Good night, Grandma, I say, watching Oliver give me a smoldering look as he sits back down. When he settles in, I lean over and whisper to him softly. That was nice of you. She's funny, Oliver whispers back. I like her. I think it's time we all retired, Mom says, also rising to her feet. We have a packed schedule this week. Breakfast is served at 8 in the morning. I expect everyone to make it, even if you're just eating some Pop-Tarts. She arches a brow at my sister. I'm looking at you, Miss Roxy Price, and show your sister and Oliver to their room, will you? Of course, Roxy replies, jumping to her feet. We made sure to give you guys a nice private room far from everyone else, so you can't disturb everyone with the wild sounds of whips and handcuffs, she says with a big wink and a nudge from her elbow to my midsection. Oh, we left those at home, Oliver quips, making me blush as we let Roxy lead us up the stairs. You guys really make a cute couple, Roxy says. You could be a couple in a movie or something. Thanks, Oliver says. We get that all the time. I was serious about your brother. No pressure, but I'm a little hard up, Roxy says with a laugh, and I'm surprised. My outgoing little sister, hard up for a date? Then again, Oliver's brother, if he even exists? No chance in hell. Trust me, you don't want to do that, Oliver says, and I feel an awesome wave of relief wash over me. He's not a total asshole. Roxy lets out a sigh as we reach the guest bedroom. Damn. Oh, well. Here it is. Roxy swings open the door, stepping inside with us. Welcome to the, I think John called it the Morgan bedroom. No clue why. The room is huge, with a giant picture window that dominates one wall, and a balcony outside, white walls, and a huge gray four-poster canopied bed in the middle. The rug is gorgeous, and every carved twist of wood, from the details in the doorframe to the gilded edges of the molding on the ceiling, screams luxurious. I look around, and I notice that our luggage is waiting for us, beside the cherry wood dresser. Good night, you two, Roxy says, mischievously wiggling her eyebrows at us. Don't make too many bumps in the night, or at least muffle the screams when you do. Before I can protest, Roxy turns and walks out, closing the door behind her. I step toward the door and turn, realizing that I'm alone with Oliver for the first time since meeting him in the living room at Gavin's. The moment hits me, and I realize that I'm faced with a situation I've been dreading. This room is so extravagant, so why isn't there a sofa in here that I can make him sleep on? The room has everything but a damn sofa. This is nice, I remark, trying to stall. I walk around the bed to the other side of the room, studying the night through the giant French doors. We'll have a great view in the morning. We will, Oliver agrees, and I turn around to see him beginning to unbutton his shirt. What are you doing? I ask, my voice unsteady. You can't be serious. He gives me a look before pausing. He's got his shirt half opened, revealing a set of super hard abs and tan skin beneath. I'm unbuttoning my shirt. What's it look like? Oliver asks. You know, I can't exactly go to bed in a sports coat and khakis. My mind is flooded with thoughts of all the dirty, sexy things that could happen if I let them. I'd normally be down for a night of fun with a man like him, but I just can't get over his cockiness. My pride's getting in the way of a good fuck. But lying in bed with him with only a few inches and some cloth between us? Asshole or not, his body is irresistible. I grab myself by the arms, squeezing, trying to ward away the desire flowing through my body, as the images of his lips burning into mine flashes in my mind. My pussy clenches as I remember the kiss from earlier that seemed to promise paradise. Oh, fuck. I'm not caving on the first night. No fucking way. I set my face as hard as I can and stab a finger at the floor. I think you should sleep on the floor for tonight. I'm not sharing a bed with you. Oliver looks at me like I'm crazy before letting out a chuckle. Like hell. I'm a man, not a dog. If you want to sleep on the floor, be my guest. He pulls his shirt all the way off, tossing it to the side. In an instant, I have a full view of him. Every muscle on his torso is defined and flows like a piece of artwork from one to the next, and all of them are saying, "Fuck me, Mindy." My knees give a wobble as they become weak. Sweet baby Jesus, he is on fire. I place my hands on my hips, trying to be strong. Yeah, that's exactly why I want you to sleep there. You are a dog, and I don't fucking trust you. On one hand, I'm pissed that I can't let my pride go. I want to get in that bed and lick him from head to toe, but beyond his being an ass today, I'm scared. I'm scared what would happen if I sleep with him. And it's totally not me. I'm on guard because he's different. He feels, I can't decide if the right word is dangerous or special. And he's not really my fiancé, I remind myself. It's pretend. When are you going to learn, princess? He says, walking over and placing his hands on my waist. I don't follow your orders. He leans into me just a little, invading my space, and whispers in my ear, and I think you like it. I can hear the smirk in his voice. His body is so hot that my temperature is rising. I can see the ridges between his muscles, ridges I want to trace with my fingernails and scratch lightly, just the way I know he'd like it. I look up at his full, sensuous lips, and I practically feel them on my skin. Fight it, bitch. I pull away, my chest heaving and my face burning. Keep your hands off me. I try to sound firm, but what comes out sounds more like a moaning whisper. Remember my rules. My words sound so weak. I'm having a hard time even thinking straight. And Oliver grins as if he's saying, you'll be changing that tune soon. If that's how you want it. Yes, that's how I want it, I rasp, not even trusting myself to look at him. I stare at the door instead. You need to follow the rules. No, you don't. Take me now, my body seems to scream. Touch me, tease me, make me scream your name. I'm going to go change, I mumble, trying to calm down. I go get my bag and walk into the adjacent bathroom. I stare at myself in the mirror, taking a big, calming breath. I throw cold water on my face, hoping it'll shock my system back to normal. But after patting it dry, the same lust-crazed, barely-in-control reflection still looks back at me from the mirror. Okay, Mindy, get yourself together. You're stronger than this. Stop letting him know he affects you and he'll stop, I whisper. but the girl staring back at me says I'm a fucking liar. And I'm pretty sure she's right. I go through my bag, finding my brand new nightgown. I bite my lip. I shouldn't wear it. It's only going to make things worse. But fuck him. He's got me all worked up. So now it's his turn. I take my gown out, a little red number I got from Victoria's Secret, and put it on. The satin slips over my skin, and I feel sexy, my nipples hardening as the lace rests against the tops of my breasts, and I quickly brush my teeth, looking at myself in the mirror. I've made a lot of strong men go to their knees with a lot less than this, and Oliver Steele is no different. I can make him beg and then shut him down. Or at least I'll be in control when I fuck him senseless. I walk back out, strutting with each step and not saying a word. Oliver's sitting on the bed in just his boxers, and he pales when he sees me. He swallows a lump, and I have to smirk a little when I see another lump twitch and grow between his legs. You're wearing that? I hide my grin as I walk over to the bed and sit down. It's my favorite nightgown. If you've got a problem with that, I guess you need to pull on some sweatpants or something, I say with a raised eyebrow and a pointed glance down at his crotch. His eyes burn into mine. My nipples get even harder, and I know he can see the diamond hard points. I don't care. His lips seem to twitch, and I know he's imagining sucking on them. I pull back the blanket and lie on the sheets, stretching just a little bit, displaying what he isn't going to get tonight. Oliver stares slack-jawed for a second before lying down, and then I see it. Lying down, there's no way to hide it anymore. That huge fucking bulge. His cock is straining to get out, and I'm both glad and regretful he's wearing boxers without a front fly. I'd love a peek, but it's hard enough already to not want to pull it out. My mouth waters. I can't help it, and Oliver notices my swallow. If that's what you want, he says with a deep growl to his voice. There's no teasing, no fucking around now. One word from me, and he'd fucking ravage me. It is, I say, my breath rasping again. I turn away, pulling the sheet up and over me before squeezing my eyes shut. Desire burns through me. Oliver clicks off the light, and the minutes pass like years. I can't sleep. Several times I almost roll over and grab it, reach for him, but I fight back the feeling. I can't give in. I'm not gonna let him win. But why does it feel like I'm the one losing tonight?
Chapter 10. Oliver. I wake up in the early morning sunlight to the sound of running water and a hard cock. Rolling onto my back, I let out a soft groan, opening my eyes. The ceiling is so high that it gives me vertigo for a moment, and I close my eyes again, reaching over to feel the warm sheets next to me. The spot beside me is empty, Mindy's soft, sexy body nowhere I can feel. I turn my head and open my eyes, seeing nothing but rumpled sheets that still hold her scent and warmth. She must be taking a shower. I slept like hell, maybe the worst night of sleep I've ever had. Every time I would close my eyes, they'd fly open again at the slightest sound she made, hoping that every movement was her turning to me, giving in to the moment. I groan again, gripping the bedding and wishing she were right here and ready. I'd punish her with the wood she gave me all night long. I look over at the bathroom, my mind drifting into fantasy mode. But after a night of maybe an hour or two of sleep at most, I don't give a shit. I lie in bed, trying not to think about her in that nightgown when she walks out. Thankfully, she's dressed in blue jeans and a white scoop-neck top, but damn, she still looks hot as fuck. My eyes are silently and quickly undressing her as she saunters across the room and sits in the chair near the window. She bends down to pull on some socks and gives me a look down her top at the valley between her tits. My cock twitches again, and I'm glad the blanket's over my waist. Sleep well? Mindy asks, and there's a hint of a smile on her lips. I know she thinks she's won, but she's dead wrong. I can see in her eyes that she's just as sleep-deprived as I am. I yawn, placing my arms behind my neck. Pretty damn good, I lie. Haven't had a night's rest that good since the Delaney sisters. I kick my legs a little, and the blanket slides down to my knees. I don't do anything to hide my hard-on now, even squirming my hips slightly as if I'm moving to get comfortable. Mindy's mouth drops open a little, and I know what she's thinking about. You?
Oh, fine, she says,
her eyes falling to my cock before jerking away. I see red come to her cheeks and I smile. It's 7:45, she says, her voice small as she suddenly focuses on making sure the tongue on her shoes is just perfect.
You should get ready.
Mom was serious about everyone being there for breakfast. Leave any hot water for me? I ask jokingly. A mansion like this could probably heat enough water for a hotel and not have a problem.
Should be enough, she says, still refusing to look at me.
She fusses with her shoes a little more, then stands up.
I'm going to head down.
No, I say, rising from the bed, and she looks at me with surprise. Wait.
What?
She starts, then crosses her arms underneath her breasts, frustrated.
Why?
Don't you want us to be more cohesive? We need to go down to breakfast together.
Yeah, I guess,
she says, biting her lip again. And she looks so cute. I smile and swing my legs over, giving her my back as I go over to my bag.
So, I guess I'll just hang out. Hurry, please?
I chuckle. Please now? Progress. I'll be 10 minutes. I gather a change of clothes, some nice black dress pants and a white dress shirt, and walk into the bathroom. I take a quick cold shower, have to take care of my dick and have to wake me up. After a quick shave, I brush my teeth and step out, feeling more in control of myself. Mindy looks up from sitting on the bed, picking at her nails. I see something flash in her eyes, and she says,
"You look refreshed."
I grin. Thanks. Listen, about last night.
You don't have to say anything,
she says, giving me a slightly regretful half-smile. What we've both been doing is wrong. But we made it through one night. We only have 6 more to go. Let's just drop anything that came before and get through this without killing each other. You mean fucking each other, I say in my head. Agreed, I reply instead, though I know it's all a lie. There's too much tension between us. There's only one way for this to end up, and that's her playing cowgirl on my cock. Still, I smile and offer her my arm. Ready? She looks at my arm for a moment before she takes it, rising to her feet. We leave, and part of me feels good with Mindy on my arm. Maybe we're pretending, but I could get used to pretend. We go downstairs, but before we enter the dining room, Mindy plasters a heavenly smile on her face.
Good morning, Mary Jo chirps as we walk in. Thanks for making it on time.
I look around and quickly notice that not everyone is here. Aunt Rita and Ivy Joe are here, along with John, but Charles, Layla, and Roxy are missing. Good morning, ladies. And John, I say with charm. Lovely morning, isn't it?
Did you guys sleep well? Mary Jo asks.
Absolutely wonderful. Didn't we, babe? I ask Mindy. I slept like a baby, I add. Mindy nods.
Mm-hmm. That bed was really comfortable and the room was gorgeous. I loved the view from the balcony. I felt like I was sleeping at the Ritz-Carlton.
I hope some baby-making action was going on, Ivy Jo mutters. Less viewing, more screwing. I chuckle as everyone seems to ignore her. I guess she's earned the right to say whatever the hell she wants at her age. John sets down his spoon, standing up from his plate of grits and eggs to give Mindy a hug. I'm glad you both enjoyed your room. You know we just had it redone. My father had turned it into my playroom when I was a child. I just couldn't see doing that anymore, so I had it restored and upgraded.
It's lovely, Mindy says, looking around. Hey, where's Roxy?
Her mom scowls, and I have to laugh. Mothers everywhere are the same.
Late to breakfast as usual. I swear, that child. And Uncle Charles? Mindy asks, hoping to stop a rant before it begins. Rita shakes her head. Honey, you'll be lucky if he's up by 2. He usually skips breakfast. It's those damn cigs. He has no appetite. Good morning, lovelies, a cheery sing-song voice says. Roxy walks in, looking bright-faced, a disgruntled Layla behind her. How are my favorite people? Roxy goes around kissing everyone before sitting, totally ignoring the daggers her mother is staring at her. Meanwhile, Layla sort of slumps into a chair, still looking like she'd prefer to be anywhere but here. Would have been even better if you were here on time, Mary Jo finally says, stabbing at her eggs like she's ready to murder the chickens they came from. Roxy looks over at us, giving us a saucy grin.
So, how did you two sleep?
Everyone seems to be asking that, I say, reaching over and hanging an arm around Mindy. We slept great.
Like a baby, Mindy agrees, letting my hand stay for a bit.
Roxy looks disappointed.
I didn't hear screams and whips at all. Major letdown, you two. Get with the program.
We're not here for entertainment, Mindy grumbles, rolling her eyes and taking my hand off her shoulder. Silence falls over everyone for a few minutes as breakfast is eaten. And I must admit that whoever Mary Jo has cooking for everyone has skills. Roast duck is easy. Good grits are hard. As Roxy scrapes the last of her insisted on granola out of her bowl and crunches down, Mary Jo rises to her feet and claps her hands together.
Enough dilly-dallying. There's so much to do and not enough time to get it done. We've got to get flower girl gowns. And there are decorations and dealing with the caterer.
Roxy sticks her hand up, sort of, interrupting her mother.
Mom, I think it would be better for everyone if we worked in groups. Keep you sane.
Mary Jo brightens.
That's actually a great idea, Roxy.
Roxy sticks her tongue out at Mindy.
You're not always the pet.
Girl, please, Mindy says, waving her away. I'll go with you, Roxy. Keep you out of trouble.
And I'll go with them, Ivy Jo adds. Keep these old bones youthful.
Mary Jo looks like she's about to protest, but relents with a nod.
Well then, can you three deal with the dresses? Rita and Layla, come with me to get the decorations.
And Oliver can come with me for a ride through town, John says. I want to show him a few things and get his opinion on some others.
Mary Jo claps her hands together, pleased.
Okay, that sounds great. Be back here by 1 for lunch.
As everyone is getting up from their chairs, I pull Mindy in close.
Bye, princess, I tell her, giving her a kiss on the lips. This time she isn't as shocked, and I'm surprised when she kisses me back quickly.
Goodbye, handsome, she tells me,
giving me a cute little smile that stops me in my tracks for a moment. I think I'm having just a little too much fun with this role play.
See you in a bit.
I get up, and John and I make it outside and jump into his classic Mustang convertible, cherry red, of course, and we head into town. The engine purrs as we cruise, and I have to admit, it's a great car.
That Mindy is quite a handful, John says as he drives, the top down and just the engine providing background noise. Just a more grown-up version of her younger sister. But what I love about them most is that mischievous sparkle in their eyes. They're always ready to hit you with the joke that will have a grown man giggling. I chuckle. I can't argue with that. You'd be surprised how often she knocks me on my heels.
Do you love her? John asks me directly as we pull up to a stop sign.
No offense, but I'm about to be her stepfather. I'd like to know she's going to marry a man who will love her, not just be a good match.
I hesitate. Love is such a strong word. I know I'm supposed to be pretending to be in love, but to actually answer a direct question, I feel uneasy. But I can't help but answer with what he wants. Yes, I say. Heaven and stars above, I love her very much.
John studies me for a moment, then nods. Good. Then don't ever let her go. Girls like her only come around once in a lifetime. So to hell with the rules. You make sure you hold her, please her, and give her everything she desires.
Desires, I muse as John pulls away. Desires indeed. Hopefully, she gives in to that desire sooner rather than later. Another night of her dressed in that nightgown, and I'm gonna have a serious case of blue balls.
Oliver? John asks. Did you hear me?
Hmm? I reply, glancing over at John.
Yeah. I was just thinking about how stupid rules can be, and that you're right. Mindy deserves her wildest dreams.
Good, John says, turning his attention back to driving. I look out the car window again, not really watching as the greenery rolls by. I'm thinking about Mindy and rules. The only thing separating me from her is a flimsy barrier of rules she's put up between us. And if I want to get the rules to change, I need to change the game.
Chapter 11. Mindy. As Roxy and I ride with Grandma, I know I'm in big trouble. I can't stop thinking about the way he kissed me. The way that his hands felt on my waist, and the way his thumb brushed over my cheek when our lips parted. It's fake, but it felt so real. I can still count on one hand the number of times he's kissed me. The scary part is that each one is getting better than the last. The really scary part is that I'm looking forward to the next one more and more. It's more than the way he uses his lips or the way his body feels pressed against me. It's the look in his eyes. There is real desire there, and something else too, something that scares me. But last night was a real test of faith. I think I deserve entry to the gates of heaven because I'm a goddamn saint for resisting him. Call the Pope or something, because I felt like Eve, and Oliver's big fucking dick was the forbidden fruit. I didn't partake, so now I need to be rewarded. Yoo-hoo! Earth to Mindy! Roxy says, waving her hand in my face. I'm snapped back to attention. Roxy's driving us down the road in her white convertible with the sunroof down. The wind ruffles through our hair, and the weather is amazing. You couldn't ask for a better day, really. With clear blue skies and the sun warming our skin, everything is just right. Off in the distance, I can see the deep blue ocean. This place is nothing but beautiful. If I had to name a place to live, I think I would love to live here. Yeah? I ask, setting aside my thoughts about Oliver and the creeping fantasy I have of him and me and this place. What? Roxy grins, raising her voice to talk over the wind. You look like you're in another world. Was the sex that good? I scowl at Roxy. You do realize your grandma's in the back seat, right? Are you serious? Roxy asks, glancing in the rearview mirror. She says and hears things far worse than that. Ain't that right, Grandma? In the back, my annoyance grows as Grandma cackles. Honey, I might be old, but I ain't dead. I've had more than my fair share of rides in the rodeo back in the day, and put more than my fair share of cowboys away wet at night. See? Roxy says as I wish I could just crawl into a hole and die. And Brianna thinks I'm forward. Hell, I'd have her twerking on ladies' night at Trixie's if I could. Don't you dare, I say, feeling like the most mature person in the vehicle. You're not about to have my mama down there looking like some geriatric Nicki Minaj. Roxy laughs, and silence reigns for a moment. So, how have you been? I ask Roxy seriously. I haven't gotten a moment alone with you since we got here. You doing okay? I've been good, Roxy says, giving me a smirk and a shrug. But Mom's been giving me hell for taking a year off college to pursue singing. What else is new? She doesn't approve of anything I do unless it's something she wants. Her words resonate with me. Aren't I pulling this whole charade to please my mother? I'm making an ass of myself in front of my family just so I can appear to have found a man. It's just her way, I say. We make it to the dress shop. It's a small little place in a strip mall between a karate studio and an eyeglass shop. I'm not sure at first, but when Roxy leads me inside, I see that everything's high-end. This looks expensive as hell. I'd feel like I was slumming it in a Vera Wang, I say. Jesus, this thing costs more than what I make in 2 months. Good thing I have John's credit card then, Roxy says with a chuckle, patting her hip pocket. What do you think of that, I ask. What do I think of what? Roxy asks as Grandma settles into one of the well-padded chairs and hums to herself. Of Mom marrying him, I ask. I know the conversation I had with Mom, but I want Roxy's opinion too. She bites her lower lip for a second as she thinks before answering. He seems like a really sweet man. At first, I didn't think that they made a good match. He's laid back, and as you know, Mom can be pretty high-strung. But for the most part, they've meshed pretty well. And despite all the bullshit, Mom's really the same inside. That's good. As long as she's happy, I say as I finger a tight little party dress. It'd look great on me, and I can just imagine myself dancing with Oliver. Wait, what the hell? That's always what's most important, Grandma says as I quickly let the dress go. Now is not the time to think about Oliver. Because if you ain't happy, everything and everyone around you will be miserable. Roxy lets out a snort. I know that's right. Preach, Granny Goose. You're on a roll today. And if the shoe doesn't fit, don't wear the stinky thing, Grandma says, egged on by Roxy. Cast it out. Roxy laughs as the salesperson comes over, looking like someone cut a fart in church. May I help you? Yes, we're here to pick up some dresses, Roxy says. The name is Wentworth. At the mention of John's name, the bitch face disappears and a giant smile comes out. Of course, I'll have them out in a second. It's not quite a second, but they're back in a jiffy. They're certainly high end. I seriously doubt any flower girls in history have worn dresses quite this level before. These are cute, Roxy says. These would be great for your wedding too, Mindy. I want to have enthusiasm, but it's hard to even think about. There won't be any marriage, at least not with Oliver. Yeah, that would be cool. What's the matter? She asks, noticing my tone. You don't seem too excited. Aren't you looking forward to your wedding? You two just seem so perfect for each other. Looking at my sister's encouraging smile, I feel like a fucking fraud. I should have known this fake marriage thing wouldn't be so casual. I catch Grandma looking at me. She tears her eyes away when I see, but in that instant, I'm reminded that Grandma has been around for a long time. She's raised 2 daughters and a son, buried a husband and her son, and the whole time has been smart as a whip. She sees things other people don't. I need to be careful. Of course I am, but we haven't even set a date yet. God, I sound guilty. I know it. Roxy shrugs, turning her attention back to the dresses. Fine. I didn't mean to upset you. I just want to hurry up and get this week over with. I feel like time is crawling. Every minute is a year of mental agony already. And every mention of sex, Oliver, weddings, or babies is like a stab right in my gut. We spend the next hour checking the dresses, but in the end, everything looks good. The tab makes me blanch, while Roxy doesn't bat an eyelash at letting them swipe John's card. Instead, she just laughs as we carry the dresses out to the car. Man, I really wish we could have gotten some of those party dresses. I saw you eyeing one. You'd look great in it. Not as good as me, but good. I'd make you look like a little girl playing dress-up, I tease back. Oh, wait, you are a little girl playing dress-up. Bitch, Roxy says with a laugh, and I feel good again. On the way back, I forget about my worries as we all catch up on each other's day-to-day lives. When we reach the Wentworth estate, my stomach is grumbling, and I can't wait to get some food. We both help Grandma out and bring the bags in, setting them in the den where I guess Mom's starting to gather the stuff. We're home! Roxy sings when we walk back into the foyer. Looks like Mom, Rita, and Layla and the men aren't back yet. Let's go wait in the TV room. You've gotta check out John's system. They should be back soon, but seriously, men, you need to see this thing. It's nearly the size of a movie screen. I hope they're quick, because I'm starving, I say, following Roxy into the entertainment room. Her description was a bit over the top. It's not the size of a movie theater, but still, a 7 feet tall projection screen is pretty damn sweet. Wow, imagine watching Ryan Gosling on this thing. He'd be life-sized. Imagine watching porn on this thing, Roxy says with a laugh. The guy's dicks are life-sized. You, I start before just shaking my head. Just please tell me that you watch it by yourself. Well, duh. Before I can reply, I hear a yell from the foyer. We're home! Thank God for a mother who insists on making her lunch appointments. We go out where Mom and Aunt Rita are handing off their bags. How'd you girls do? Mom asks. Been back long? Everything went well, Roxy reassures Mom. They're in the den. You guys? Good. We got almost everything, Mom says before scowling. They just won't be able to get in the Toro sushi that I wanted. Oh, that sucks, I reply, trying not to sound annoyed. Jesus Christ, Mom. When I was a kid, you'd have been happy with chicken of the sea. And now you won't be happy unless the fish were given massages before getting filleted. Jeez, no wonder you couldn't trust the wedding planner to do everything. There's no way any one human could remember everything you want for this thing. Mom catches my tone, though, and chuckles. Okay, Mindy, point taken. All right, lunchtime. You guys wait. Oh, Roxy says next to me, her hand pressed against her cheek. Talk about Prince Charming. I turn to see Oliver walking in, carrying a bouquet of roses. My heart does a backflip as he walks over to me, a beaming smile on his face. I brought something for you, princess, he says, handing me the roses. They're not as beautiful as you, but then again, nothing is. I stare at the bouquet as if it's a vase full of snakes. Still, his words have an impact, and I'm shocked. What's he up to? Thank you. Oh my God, that's so sweet, Mom says, fanning her face to prevent smearing her mascara, tears in her eyes. Every woman in the room has watery eyes, with the exception of Layla, who looks like she's going through great lengths not to roll hers. Even I'm feeling a bit choked up, and looking into his face, I'm having to remind myself over and over that this is all an act. He's just pretending. He has to be. You're welcome, Oliver says, his deep voice dripping like honey. He leans down to give me a firm kiss on the lips. His scent envelops me. It's a bit spicy from his cologne, but underscored with his unique manly flavor. I love it, and pretend or not, my body responds. When he pulls away, I almost feel like I need a ventilator. My head is swimming. I'm confused, not able to think, and I can feel my cheeks burning. To hide my embarrassment, I bury my nose in the roses. Maybe it's the moment, but they smell better than any roses I've ever seen. That was so sweet of you, Mom repeats. You really are a gentleman. Oliver grins and flashes her a smile. I try. Can we clone you? Roxy asks. And while I know she's just being silly, I swear she sounds like she's all gaga too. Oliver laughs, shaking his head. Sorry, Roxy. I don't think that's possible yet. No, seriously. Can we clone? I got a cup that you can donate your DNA. That's enough, Roxy, I say firmly. Selfish, stingy, Roxy's words trail off as she makes a face, then turns and walks toward the dining room. Hold on, Roxy, Oliver says. John and I were talking, and we've had the table set out on the second floor balcony. We're going to do lunch out there. The day is too beautiful to let it go to waste. Mom looks at John, beaming. That's a great idea. You two make a great team, John. It's going to be great having Oliver as your son-in-law. Thanks, honey, John says, but it was all his idea. Oliver turns his eyes on me and smiles. It's not a smirk, and it's not mocking or joking. It's a smile that makes me weak in the knees. It's nothing, really. I do it all for her. My princess deserves the absolute best. I tear my eyes away from his gaze, my cheeks flaming. My heart feels fuzzy, weird. I'm so confused and conflicted. I know this is all supposed to be fake, but Oliver is turning up the heat. And my heart, among other places, thinks it's real. If he keeps this up, I'm going to be clawing his back and screaming his name before the week's out.
Chapter 12. Oliver. Here you go, Princess, I say, pulling out the seat for her. Out on the balcony, I don't think I could ask for a more perfect lunchtime. The sun's high in the sky, and the skies are a perfect blue. Past the back lawn, you can see the wall that borders the estate before the land drops and the ocean begins. It's not too warm, not too cold, and the breeze has just a hint of salt on it. I don't think I could have scripted a more beautiful or romantic location for lunch. Mindy's cheeks flush as she sinks in her seat. The staff have set up small tables for two or three people around the balcony, as if it's an outdoor restaurant. Each couple has their own table, while Roxy, Layla, and Ivy Joe share a third, leaving one for me and Mindy. Thank you, she says, her voice small. I wink at her. My pleasure. You look lovely, by the way. I take my seat as a cool breeze flows in from the ocean, and I inhale deeply. Jeez, this place is like a paradise. It is, Mindy agrees, enjoying the cool air with a satisfied look. This was all your idea? She asks quietly enough so the others don't hear. She doesn't need to worry. She'd have to be talking pretty loudly. There's comfortable space between the tables. I nod. It was nothing. Everything was already planned. I just suggested we do it out here. Why? She asks. Because you deserve it, I say with a smile. And I wanted to have a nice lunch with you. She stares at me, unconvinced. I can't tell if you're playing or if you really mean it anymore, Oliver. Maybe a little bit of both, I tease. Maybe I don't really know myself. And that's the truth. I might be getting a little carried away, but maybe I actually mean it. Yeah, which means it's bullshit, she says. You strike me as a man who always knows exactly what he's doing and what he wants. Isn't that what you want? I ask. She starts to respond, but the kitchen guy comes out with the menu for everyone. He goes around to each table, leaving the menus and then taking the orders for drinks. John's going all out. We're practically at a restaurant. There's only a few selections of wine. Mary Jo is saving the best stuff for the actual wedding. I take a quick look, then hand it back to him. Can I have the Darius Chardonnay 2010 for us, please? The man nods, pleased.
Certainly, sir.
Mindy immediately glowers at me when he's gone.
Who said you could order for me?
I did, I say firmly. I'm supposed to be your fiancé, remember?
How y'all doing over there? Roxy calls from her table. Enjoying the view?
Just fine, Mindy yells back, flashing a quick smile.
How about you worry about what's on your own plate?
Smartass, Roxy yells.
I laugh. You two are a riot. I bet you two were cats and, well, cats when you were kids.
Oh, you haven't seen anything yet, Mindy scowls. It's tame right now because people are around. It's an all-out rumble when it's just me and her. Or it used to be.
What would we do without our younger siblings? I ask, my mind briefly going to Anthony, and wonder if he's doing what I asked him to do. He'd better, I tell myself. Or when I get back, we're going to have more than just a little talk this time. I really should find time to give them a quick call, but it's been impossible so far.
Repent, Mindy jokes, for thou art cursed with the younger sibling. And with great wailing and gnashing of teeth, the elder siblings were thus cursed.
I can't help but to laugh. Something like that.
Nah, I'm just joking, Mindy says more seriously. I don't know what I'd do without that girl.
Then why didn't you come here with them? If a coffee shop is your thing, I'm sure John could have set you up.
Mindy frowns. Because when Dad died, I just felt paralyzed. Like, I didn't know what to do with myself. Then running the coffee shop gave me something to focus on. Mom moving away was like a relief at the time. When she was around, it reminded me of him too much.
I'm sorry to hear that, but I definitely understand where you're coming from, I tell her honestly. My parents, they're not together either. She peers at me closely, looking at me with real concern.
What happened?
Before I can reply, the waiter returns with my drink. I look over the menu quickly and decide. I'd like the lamb kebabs with couscous and grilled vegetables. Mindy?
That sounds... Actually, I'll have the same, Mindy says, giving me a little smile. What? You were right on the wine, so I figure I'll trust you on the food, too. So, you were saying?
My father doesn't speak to me, I say when the waiter is gone. We had a disagreement back at the company. Mindy fingers her wine glass.
You know, there's a lot I don't know about you, Oliver. Hell, I didn't even have time to Google you. What was the disagreement over?
I hesitate. This conversation isn't going in the direction I want it to go. I'm supposed to be turning up the heat, not turning up the mush. I'd rather not talk about it. At least, right now.
Mindy frowns. That bad?
It was. There's silence for a few moments as I fidget, trying to think of anything to steer conversation away from me, but thankfully, Mindy doesn't push things any further. Finally, I glance around the balcony at her family. So how do you think it's going? Mindy looks around, thinking deeply before replying.
I think everyone is pretty much fooled, if that's what you're talking about. Well, except for Grandma, but she's always wary. But you need to stop with the tricks.
I hide my grin behind the glass. I'm done with those. Nothing but complete obedience for me from here on.
Why do I think you're mocking me? She asks suspiciously. And why is it that almost everything you say seems to have a double meaning?
It's a talent of mine. One of many, I might add, I say with a grin. When I was in school, they always told us never to talk yourself into a corner. Always give yourself another possible explanation in case things go wrong. So, well, I'm having fun. Aren't you?
I most certainly am not. Mindy says, blushing and tucking a lock of her rich brown hair behind her ear. I mean,
you're playing the game as much as I am, I finish for her. And that's fine. It's no fun playing a game without a good partner to play it with.
Why did you do this? She says suddenly, trying to duck out of the way the conversation is going. What is it that Gavin has on you?
The ability to hide pocket sevens and the devil's own luck on the flop, I think, but I don't tell her that. Well, he and I have known each other since soon after I got back to town, and he did something big for me, so I owed him one. I'll be honest, I thought he was insane when he first proposed it, but then... The waiter interrupts us, bringing our plates. He sets them down before leaving, and I give Mindy a nod. Bon appetit.
Salud. Mindy says, reaching for her wine.
As she does, her hand hits the bottle of sauce that the waiter had brought for our kebabs, and it tips over.
Shit!
Before I can react, sauce has splashed all over my plate, and I'm pretty sure I have some of it on my shirt. Mindy blushes, reaching for a napkin, but I wave her off. It's okay, really.
Really?
She asks nervously, and I look at my right hand, which got covered in sauce all over my index finger.
Really?
Here, try some for me, I say, holding out my finger to her. Tell me if it's too spicy, or else I might end up with hiccups all afternoon.
No way,
Mindy says, stopping when I put my finger against her lips. Do it, I say, lowering my voice. Open your mouth. Her eyes darken as she opens her lips, and I slide my finger into her mouth. My heart quickening and my cock jumping to rock hardness in a split second as she licks my finger. Her lips are velvety soft, and her tongue, it's beyond words. It's devilish, erotic, and as she sucks my finger in deeper, I can tell she likes it as much as I do.
Hey, get a room over there, Roxy yells from her table.
Mindy freezes, pulling her head back and her face blushing furiously. Not saying a word, she gets up and runs into the house.
I'm on her heels in half a second, ignoring the fact that my cock is tenting my pants, or the impending argument between Roxy and her mother as I follow Mindy inside. She's quick, her shame and my hard-on giving her an advantage until I catch her just outside our bedroom. I grab her arm and pull her to a stop, where she spins against the wall, her eyes wide and desperate.
You said you were done with that.
I didn't say you could leave, I say, moving close to her. I step even closer, putting my arm out and trapping her against the wall. Who gives a shit what Roxy says? Everyone ignores her antics most of the time, it seems. You were enjoying it as much as I was. I reach out and stroke my finger down her cheek, and she's practically trembling beneath my touch. Stop, she half moans, half whispers. Just stop. Why? I ask, leaning in closer. We're less than 2 inches apart, and I can feel the heat and the tremble of her breath on my skin. And I want her so badly, I could take her right here in the hallway. You're running from what we both want, what we both need. A soft sigh escapes her lips. We're not supposed to be doing this. There's nothing wrong with it, I whisper, leaning in closer. There's nothing wrong with having a little bit of fun. I move in closer, and our lips touch again. Our kiss is soft at first before growing hot, and I trail my lips down her neck, licking and feasting on her skin. She's delicious, and she melts into my touch, her hands pulling me closer as I close my hand around her left breast, feeling her hard nipple under my fingers and pulling on it. Oh, sweet God, Mindy moans, her thighs parting as I slip a knee between them, and she starts grinding against me. What the hell are we doing? What you need, princess, I moan, moving my hand from her breast and down her belly to unbutton her jeans. I slide my hand inside and run my hand over the slick satin of her panties. She's soaked, nearly dripping wet as I slide them to the side and slip 2 fingers inside her, while the heel of my hand rubs against her clit. I know I shouldn't be doing this here in a hallway. Someone could walk by and see us, but I'm filled with so much desire, I don't want to fucking move. And the danger of someone seeing adds to the excitement. Oh, fuck, Mindy moans, her fingernails digging into my shoulders as I nibble on her ear. You know you want this as much as I do, I whisper in her ear, rubbing the secret spot inside her quickly as I rub my thumb over her clit. Say it. Say you want it. No, Mindy moans, trying to fight it and losing. I can't. You can. Say it. Say you want to feel my cock pumping into you and making you scream. You know how good it'll feel stretching you open and making you. Coming, Mindy moans as her pussy tightens around my fingers. She clamps her lips on my neck, stifling her cries against my neck as she bites down, and I hiss, the pain adding to my strokes as I keep her coming, melting against my hard body and clinging to me, needing me, wanting me. When she sags against the wall, spent, I pull my fingers out and run them under my nose, relishing the scent before I lick them clean. So fucking delicious. Fuck her, Mindy half gasps, half curses me, even as a satisfied grin crosses her beautiful face. That was totally against the rules. I told you, I don't like rules, I say, stepping back. Mindy doesn't move. Her legs are still shaking from the intensity of her orgasm. I turn and start walking down the hallway before I stop and look back. And princess? She can't even speak, but her eyes find me. Next time, I say, giving her my best intense look, it's not going to be my fingers. You're going to be coming on my cock.
Chapter 13. Mindy. I lean back against the wall, buttoning up before someone sees and trying to catch my breath. My legs are trembling from the aftershocks of the orgasm Oliver gave me, and my heart is still hammering in my chest, and the intensity of his promise as he walked away. I can't help but wish he would have dragged me into our room and fucked me senseless. I suck in a trembling breath, rubbing at my throat where I can still feel the burning kisses he left on my skin. My panties are soaked, I need to change them. His eyes held sweet promise the whole time, his fingers ripping a climax from me that was otherworldly. This is getting out of hand.